Welcome to everyone. Let me quickly introduce our today's speaker, Sanna Jarvala, from the University of Oulu in Finland, where she is a professor in the field of learning and educational technology and head of learning and educational technology research unit, which has been very well evaluated recently in the Department of Educational Sciences at the University of Oulu. She has been very successfully launching and shaping the European landscape of research in that field in her role as editor and co-editor of different journals, including the early flagship journal Learning and Instruction, and now currently the new and journal with high aspirations in the sense of also pushing the field forward with creative thoughts, the frontline learning research, actually. She has been part of big networks of excellence on technology-enhanced learning, including Kaleidoscope, with more than 500 researchers, where she also played a leading role. She's also playing a leading role at her university. She has been, I'm not sure if she is still, but she has been member of the governing board, so she's also in the governing board of her university and is still a very, very productive scientist. In the preparation meeting, we agreed that Sanna will give a little bit more some details on her academic life and career so far between different communities, scientific communities, and also between different social sciences. And also she will talk about her link to the learning sciences and why this topic is important for the learning sciences. If she doesn't do it right now, I will ask that a bit later in my interview questions at the end. But now, Sanna, the floor is yours. We are very much looking forward to your talk and to the discussions with you.
Thank you very much, Frank. We know each other for a long time and have been collaborating, so you already know much about me. Shared regulation in computer-supported collaborative learning. Perhaps first I would like to tell my own words about why I'm currently working with the issue of shared regulation. What is the story behind that? A long time ago, a very long time ago actually, I worked for my dissertation. And that was a time when we put two or more kids to work by the computer. And I was interested in students' problem-solving, programming, by the computer when they were working in as a small group, small groups. And I was especially interested in analyzing the socio-emotional interactions by the computer. That was the beginning of my interest, and I realized that actually the motivational issues are very important, especially connected to the problem solving and the cognitive aspects about the interaction with technology. After that, my whole work has been related on the evolution of technology-enhanced learning. And I step by step realized that actually it's not only the motivational issues, but when you bring other people, you start collaborating, when you bring technology, it is motivation, emotion, and cognition which all play the role. And therefore, I had to find a theory which covers all of these areas. And I moved to the area of self-regulated learning. I have to say that I have always been a little rebel in that area. We have a very, very highly distinguished colleagues working in the field who use very strict methods in the field, but I have always been rather liberal, using qualitative approach and bringing technology for data collection, and especially focusing data collection to the social interaction and collaborative processes. You may know that these concepts like motivation, metacognition, or some cognitive strategies, they are very individual psychological concepts. Therefore, my interest started to think about these processes while we are collaborating and using technology, and therefore our empirical and theoretical development step by step moved to the processes in social context, and also currently the issue of shared regulation, socially shared regulation, has been the most important issue. So that's a little bit about my personal history, and perhaps you will notice in my talk that I'm in the connection of learning sciences and learning and instruction. That's absolutely advancing both areas and taking the areas advantage, because my theoretical home is self-regulated learning and motivation research, and my other area is absolutely collaborative learning, and that's coming from learning sciences and also the methodological approach, what is available in learning sciences. But you probably noticed that. I would also like to mention here that my work has been developing during the years very much, of course, together with my students and my important collaborative partners. I would like to especially mention Alison Hadwin and Phil Vinnie from Canada, who has been very important partners in developing these areas. And also many European colleagues in the field of collaborative learning, like Frank's team in Munich, and also Paul Kirchner recently from the Netherlands. Okay, if you take a look for my slides, I would first like to structure about what I'm going to talk you. I have four issues. I start first briefly telling you about how I consider the challenges for 21st century learning and what is the answer for helping in these challenges, and my answer is self-regulated learning. I'm going to stay for a while to explain what I mean with self-regulated learning and step by step develop the concept what I mean with socially shared regulation of learning. Then I take a little look on what is this phenomena empirically, how we can approach that. And I very briefly describe about our approach to investigate that self-regulation. And in the end, I think it is very important for us in the learning sciences that what are the implications of this concept, how we can use it to the design of new learning environments, classrooms, or technology. And that's where I end up in my talk. And I now start with the slide three, grounding the challenges. And you may take a look about these pictures here. I think you can easily imagine yourself in these kind of situations in your daily life, whether you are students, whether you are professional in your working team, or whether you are a researcher, or almost in every kind of life situation. What is very prominent in these days is that problems are not solved in your own head alone anymore. It's more or less collective thinking, collaboration, collaborative problem solving, negotiation, using multiple expertise in very active interaction with the other people. Presenting questions, answering them, arguing, comparing, creating. That's an opportunity, but that's also very challenging for us, because there is many kind of pressure, many kind of conflicts, many kind of problems to understand each others. Another thing which I would like to mention as a big challenge for in our society is that if you think about your daily life, the information overload is so huge in these days that at least in Finland and in Europe and in many countries, there is already information and evidence telling that even young professionals in their early career, they easily burn out. Because there are so many things in your everyday life that it is really difficult to stay motivated, stay focused. And I think this is one of the...
So our environment is a bit shaky today, I would say. Chris and Jürgen, I also see you appearing, reappearing always. Sorry for that. Not sure why this is the case. Maybe it's a server overload today. Also, we lost our speaker. Hope she will find her way back.
Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. Okay, there was some connection problem. All right. So we state, I explained to you about the challenges. And if you take a look for the next slide, my claim is that what really is needed is better strategical skills and self-regulation in order to cope with all these interactional and knowledge information processes which are around in our everyday life. So let's move to the slide 5. What is this concept of self-regulated learning? For me, it is a kind of umbrella term which covers the most essential phenomena in human learning. It covers motivational processes, it covers cognitive processes, and it covers emotional processes. And self-regulated learning research is not a new thing. It has a centuries history. And if I want to summarize something, I think that it nicely describes what is a good way, an effective way to learn so that you really understand. Actually, self-regulated learning describes the active and also proactive learning. It describes the processes you have in your mind actively when you are approaching a learning situation and when you are performing a task. What is important here is not only to be active, but regulate. And it's the regulation part which makes you self-regulative. And therefore, self-regulation is a process of monitoring, evaluating, and regulating, and perhaps changing your own learning and thinking, your own motivation and emotion, and also your behavior in the learning situation. What is a really wonderful thing is this area is that there's always hope. We have very clear evidence that we are able always to make people better self-regulated learners. We really are able to enhance some skills, and we are able to make effective interventions with teachers, other students, and technology especially. So this is a very great news which I always want to tell to people. Even in the old ages, you can train your learning skills. So perhaps we dive in a little bit deeper to this process of self-regulation and consider self-regulated learning in practice. If I need to say another sentence about self-regulated learning, I would describe it that it is like experimenting your learning. It is like being conscious about how you are acting, thinking, and feeling. And the picture I have in the slide 6 tells or simplifies the process. This process is adapted from a very well-known model by Phil Vinney and Alison Hadwin. There are also very many important scholars describing this model in their own concepts, like Barry Zimmerman, Monique Bukarts, or Anastasia Evklides. But perhaps if you take a look for this picture, simple picture, it tells about the important processes in the self-regulation, which is kind of cyclical process. When you approach a task, you have to activate your task understanding that you really know what I'm going to do, what is this task about, what I want to understand. You probably activate your goals and plans. And if you have your goals and plans, then you are able to apply effective strategies. And what is going on among self-regulation is that all the time you are monitoring how I'm feeling, do I understand, should I change my And the best self-regulated learners always are able to adapt, actually regulate how they are doing. This sounds a little bit complicated, but we know from research that all the best learners are self-regulated learners. So this is a kind of automatic process among good learners. What I would like to emphasize here is that self-regulation is not only a school business. It's not anything dealing with academic environments. It's for your life, everyday life, and therefore it is really important 21st century skill. The next slide has two pictures. I have to admit that I'm a little bit sportaholic, and I especially love these two ball games in this picture. If you take a look for the slide 7, I love tennis and I love Finnish baseball. Finnish baseball, by the way, is very different than American. I invite you to come to Finland to see the baseball game here. And by the way, there are two of my favorite players here. There is my son, Eino, who is a professional Finnish baseball player, who is also higher education student, but also plays Finnish baseball. And also Roger Federer, who is the most elegant tennis player from my opinion. But anyway, what is important here is that successful athletes, they always regulate their training and performance. They always set goals. They always monitor their achieving the goals. They activate their motivational, emotional, and cognitive aspects. For example, in a tennis match, you have to regulate not only your cognitive actions, your plans, your strategies, but also handle the frustration that you have failed or you are going to lose the games. And usually these regulation situations are the most powerful situations to win the game. You can think about examples in your everyday life at home or other hobbies, and self-regulation is there. Now we are taking a step to the CSCL, Computer Supported Collaborative Learning, and thinking about this regulation phenomena in the field of collaborative learning and CSCL. What is getting very clear now? I have to say that the empirical evidence about the socially shared regulation as such is not very broad. We currently made a review here with my colleague here, and we found relatively much research dealing with this phenomena. So that we can say that the phenomena exists, but I think we need more evidence about the phenomena. But what is clear, many research and our own research shows that there is a connection about the socially shared regulation phenomena to the collaborative learning success. If we in general, I know that you are, most of you are very well known in the field of collaborative learning, and people working in learning science have really made a difference to the field, because we know there is an intensive research field at the moment in collaborative learning, and we know much about the phenomena than we used to know a couple of years ago. And this is now the area where research on self-regulated learning, and I could say learning and instruction field, and research on learning sciences and collaborative learning research, they kind of bridge the road together. First of all, if we look at the collaborative learning theories and empirical studies, we know that to be successful in a group and to be successful in a group work presumes that there is a phenomena called shared knowledge construction. It is active and it has to be there. And also productive collaborative interactions, because actually these productive collaborative interactions set the stage for shared knowledge construction to occur. So we know that. But we still know that successful collaborative learning and achieving very good results in collaborative learning settings is still hard. And it is not an easy and spontaneous process at all. And to be engaged in sharing knowledge in a group is very demanding process. And now self-regulated learning comes to this scheme. Because researchers looking collaborative learning and social situations from that side, I think what they bring to this discussion is that actually these interacting processes and productive collaborative interactions, they prepare the shared metacognition available among the participating group members. So my claim is that successful groups also construct shared task perceptions, they negotiate their plans and goals while they build on each other's thinking, they share their strategic planning and enactments, and they also collectively monitor their learning progress towards their shared goals. So this is where we take this self-regulated learning theory to support collaborative learning understanding. And the slide 10 actually summarizes what we, together with my colleagues working in the field, summarize the kind of theoretical grounding for socially shared regulation. And I think that those three issues are what helps you to achieve success in collaboration. First is that self-regulated learning skills and strategies have to be brought to the group. So you have to be a good learner, active learner yourself. Then among the group members, there has to be support in between participating members to facilitate the self-regulative competence in the group. And thirdly, there has to be kind of consensual or shared collective regulation, like successful coordination of goals and plans and strategies and so on. Now I would like to stop for a little while. I'm going to continue in more details introducing this concept of socially shared regulation, but I would like to challenge you for a few minutes, not too long, only a few minutes. And I have a question for you which challenges your conceptual thinking about collaboration and regulation itself. I have to say that quite easily regulation is understood wrongly. It is used as a verb, not as a kind of psychological construct or psychological mechanism. And quite many times there is a confusion in between what is knowledge construction and what is shared regulation. So my question for you is, what is a difference in shared knowledge construction in contrast to shared regulation? And I would let you, let's say, 5 minutes brainstorming and discussing. And Frank, I think you will help me for people to move their rooms to discuss or so.
Yeah, I would suggest to have 5 minutes. Everyone who is alone reflecting and take a couple of notes, and the groups discussing among each other, and we keep like 4 minutes of silence here. Is that okay? I could also create another video chat room for those individuals who would like to chat with others. So I think time's nearly up now, and so my suggestion would be if the groups in Ghent and LMU could start to tell us what their discussion was about, and then maybe someone of us discussing in the chat could also summarize what happened in the chat.
Hi, we were thinking of directly posing our questions and answering to the question of Ms. Yevela orally. So we made some notes and thought that shared knowledge construction is more about the domain knowledge and focuses on processes and outcomes of a domain, whereas shared regulation focuses on knowledge about the collaboration itself, about what one could say a group actually does when regulating among themselves, if stepping outside of the group, having a metacognitive view of this, and focuses on learning and collaboration, of course. Some of the topics were already mentioned by you in the chat room, so we would like to pose a question to further the discussion about whether it is a contra thing between domain specific and domain general skills. Yeah.
Hello. So first we discussed about differences between knowledge construction, which is more cognitive, and shared regulation, which is more metacognitive. And we think that shared regulation can be a prerequisite for knowledge construction, or we think that for sure both can affect each other. And we discussed about the hypothesis, if we support the shared regulation, that this can lead to a better knowledge construction.
Okay, perhaps I continue, or Frank, if you want to say something.
No, not much, but just to summarize, I think there was an interesting discussion going on in the chat that partly overlapped with what the groups also identified. I think the aspect of knowledge construct or of shared knowledge construction being more on the cognitive and domain side, and shared regulation being more on the metacognitive and strategic and maybe also a bit more domain general side. That is also what has been discussed here. There was one question if shared regulation might be more on the intentional side, whereas shared knowledge construction can also be on less conscious or less intentional side, so we can have shared knowledge even without being aware of it, or not sure if one can construct shared knowledge without being aware of it. Maybe I forgot something in the chat. So you can also enlarge, by the way, technically this chat window by clicking on the word chat. You have the full chat then, and if you click there again, then the window minimizes again. And also, Yun reminded us that we have to be careful using the term shared, because sometimes it's meaning intentional, but not necessarily so. And I think that was the end point of that discussion. So meanwhile, Sana took the opportunity, but she's back. Okay, welcome back, Sana. So I was just finalizing my summary of the chat. If someone would like to add something, but else, oh, she's gone again. Okay, let's wait for a couple of minutes or until she's back. Or if someone would like to add something from the chat, please do so now.
Okay, I start before I disappear again. Hope you can hear me. So let's continue. And now I spend a little while for describing this concept, what we mean by socially shared regulation of learning. And if you have read the paper by Alison and myself, or myself and Alison from the European Educational Psychologist, then it tells about the concept more, and also the handbook chapter by Hardin, Järvelä and Miller tells about that. The picture which is on the slide 12 is a kind of characterization about what is regulation of learning in collaboration. And if you just briefly take a look at that picture, it summarizes how to be successful in CSCL or in collaboration. It depends about the self-regulation to happen among individuals and them to bring those skills actively to the group, to be able to understand the task and make plans actively and monitor and control and so on. Secondly, it also presumes this kind of transitional support in between the members of the group provided to one another to facilitate the self-regulation in the group and in between the group members. And thirdly, in the ultimate case, it also presumes shared or collective regulation of learning, like metacognitive awareness and shared motivation regulation among the whole group. And now I describe this in more details. And let's start about this issue of self-regulation in collaboration. And I hope you can take a look for my slide 13, which is a picture about group working in a collaborative task. And this is how self-regulation plays an active role in group work. We know that those who are strong in their self-regulated learning skills, they usually bring those skills also to these collaborative sessions. Those they have to activate their own planning and monitoring, evaluating and regulating all these aspects. We know from the old research that usually in the group work there are those free riders and there are social loafing and other things. And perhaps that is because of not active regulation of learning in the situation. The next slide describes about the co-regulation. This is the concept which is also present in this regulated learning family. I'm mostly considering my empirical research currently to this shared regulation issue, but co-regulation is also very well-known concept in the different areas, and it is dealing with peers interaction. But I would say that this co-regulation is of course built in the collaborative processes as well, because it is the supporting and questioning and monitoring and prompting in between your peers, asking questions, hey, did you notice that? Or please take a look here, or can you explain me? Which is a regulation processing in between the peers. And when we took the look to the last picture, which is kind of demonstrating the shared regulation in collaboration, which shows that in the best cases, this is very challenging to achieve, but the best groups achieve this kind of shared regulation. They realize that, hey, something is something is going wrong with us. We are not progressing. We feel stressed. There are conflicts. We have to do something. Should we find out a new strategy to approach? And for example, we have found out very nice empirical research findings dealing with motivation regulation, how groups who realize that there is some conflict emerging, they are able to start regulating their motivation and they keep staying their task engagement. Okay, so these three pictures demonstrate this shared regulation issue, and what I'm going to do now is that skip my next question, but because I want to save some time for the implication discussion, because somehow I feel that that is more interesting for us. I'm not going to go very thoroughly, but I just tell you a few ideas. If we think about this socially shared learning phenomena, how you can understand that, how you can empirically investigate the phenomena, how you can take a grasp of that. Usually we know in self-regulation research and motivation research that we have a very strong tradition on using self-reports, telling about reporting your feelings, and using this kind of psychometric testing tradition, which is strong. But now when we are working in situations where technology plays a role, there is usually social interactions present, and something needs created among the members. And it is still metacognitive level. It is planning and monitoring and controlling and regulating your motivation, emotions and feelings. How you are able to study that? First of all, this field is emerging in research, but at the moment there is relatively little research about how groups and how individuals in groups, how they engage and sustain productively while they are sharing their regulation. We don't know much about that yet. Also, another issue is that how you, as an individual, how you bring your self-regulation skills or abilities to the group level. How shared and individual regulation, how they interact, this process is not clear yet. I would say that we are approaching, and many colleagues are working in the field, but as I already pointed out to the knowledge construction, I would say that some of the research is still struggling with mixing the process, because sometimes when we collect data about, for example, interaction processes, it is easier, well, not it's not easy, I don't mean that, but it is more obvious to grasp the knowledge construction processes, probably, than those metacognitive processes with that kind of data. Our message together with Alison has been that if you try to investigate the phenomena, you have to tackle with challenging situations. Because if you don't have a challenge, you don't regulate. You need a challenge in order to activate your regulation. In our current research, among my research team in LET in Oulu, and also among my colleagues in Canada, we are trying to investigate socially shared regulation, and especially trying to understand the temporal sequences of self-regulation and socially shared regulation, and always in our context in research is computer-supported collaborative learning. And at the moment, I think it is really important to understand whether there is any use to promote this socially shared regulation, whether there is really connection in between these processes to the learning outcomes, it looks like that, but we need more evidence. We also need more evidence about what characterizes the temporal sequences, how these processes progress, and how does it makes a difference to the group collaborative group processes. Very briefly, how we have approached this phenomena. Very important research environment for us has been collaboration with Phil Vinney and his team from Simon Fraser. They have developed G-Study environment, which is an environment which supports your self-regulated learning skills. It prompts some of your skills while you are working with that environment, but it also collects data about your tactics and processes. It gives evidence to researchers. We started to collaborate with Phil a couple of years ago, and that has been a big step in our data collection and understanding tracing strategic learning. First, we started that among individual students, and my student Jonna Malberg is in a couple of weeks defending her dissertation about this tracing data. But I think that has been quite important for us to realize different tactics and phases and sequences of students' strategical activities and how they are related on motivational and emotional issues. Now we have tried to take this method to the group level, and we have currently data collection, and we have already collected data about students working in collaborative teams while they are working in face-to-face sessions, and while the same groups work in computer environment. So we have included computer-supported collaborative sessions there also. The slide number 21 is a kind of overview about the collection of methods needed for understanding socially shared regulation. My main message is that we need to find out situated data. We need to find out situated process-oriented data and combine individual and collaborative level data. We have used, for example, chats, logs, and learning traces in our data collection, and also recently video data collection. There's a very complicated picture about the kind of way to try to understand that micro-level process of socially shared regulation. I have to say that I'm still myself struggling with this phenomena and the data especially, but perhaps this gives you a little idea about how we try to combine different kind of data in the micro-level states and combine. Okay, I'm back. So that was a quick look at the phenomena from the methodological perspective. And now I would like to move on the implications. And here I would like to hear your ideas. What is this all useful for? What are the possible implications of socially shared regulation to CSCL, for example, to teachers at schools? Or also, how should we consider this phenomena in educational technology design? And I hope we also spent like 5 minutes discussion and brainstorming, and then a little review about your ideas.
Okay, so with the suggestion to go in the same direction as before, So groups discuss locally and the rest of us in the text chat, and we summarize later. Is that okay, Sana? Okay, I guess as discussions are still ongoing, if we again start with the groups and then maybe someone else could summarize, maybe Liana or Chris or Pavi, Antonella could summarize, Liping could summarize the chat afterwards. So Ghent University and LMU, what are your positions in that question?
Hello. We first think that it's important to be a good self-regulator before you can socially regulate each other, but we agree that we know that self-regulated learning can be scaffolded from a lot of research, and I think now it's important to think about how the socially shared regulation can be scaffolded, maybe with collaboration scripts. If you have roles in groups, maybe this can support that one participant will ask the right questions to start the regulation, the regulative process. Thank you.
So we totally agree with what Ghent University also mentioned. We only wanted to stress out here the role of teachers at school. They have to be also trained in how to assess and use scripts when it comes to regulation scripts. And from the side of educational technology designers, it's really important that they have to be aware before designing such a script or using a script for designing an educational pedagogical tool, aware of the self-regulation parts and co-regulation parts and how those two interfere and interdepend and actually reflect on socially shared regulation aspects.
Yeah, actually I think because what came to my mind with the whole script idea is the fading, and also just to kind of reduce the scaffolds, right? So that you don't force people into something they don't want to do because they're more advanced or they have different scripts. But actually I was also thinking what could be interesting is like the informal parts. So how does Roger Federer gain his self-regulation? He didn't ever have a scaffold, so that would be also kind of interesting.
Okay, perhaps we will continue with the implications. I would like to summarize for you. We also had a very good discussion in the chat, but perhaps would need it more time to summarize it. I have a few ideas for the implications. First of all, if you have read the paper by myself and Alison, I think the big message in this paper is not only to introduce the socially shared regulation issue to the CSCL, but also we claim in this paper that the tendency until now has been that we have put much effort on developing CSCL environment and the support for prompting collaborative knowledge construction. We know very successful solutions, CSL Knowledge Forum, some other environments, and I think we have been very successful in that area. But what has really been missing, that we have put lots of attention to these cognitive aspects, but not to regulation of motivation, emotion, or other kind of strategical issue, like goals and perceptions and so on. And we also think in this paper that there is potentially lots of potential to bring this concept to the CSCL tools, so that we can also support people collaborating and working, helping them to plan, monitor, and regulate the collaboration face to face or distance or both. And this issue is ignored at the moment. So my implication number one is developing socially shared regulation tools. And this is where we bridge research on collaborative learning and research on self-regulated learning. And we have been working with our colleagues with some simple prototypes and tools and prompts to help socially shared regulation in collaborative tasks. And we think that in these tools, we have to have three aspects included. First is support co-construction of shared task presentations, goals, and strategies. And second, we have to somehow integrate the features of sociability tools and team effectiveness research. And this is what very much comes from learning sciences and also collaborative learning research. There are many interesting tools helping sociability, presence, and safety, and so on. So some of the features are very relevant there. And what has also needed in this design is that we need to find ways to increase awareness of motivation and emotion. This affective issue has totally forgot. And this is the area where we also have worked a little bit. The next slide 26, is a picture about one of our recent experiment, which we have been working with our Dutch colleagues. Chris Felix from Utrecht used this and designed this radar instrument, which is a kind of peer support and peer evaluation and a little bit sociability tool. He introduced that in his dissertation a couple of years ago, and we implemented this same tool, Radar, and took some of the features we elaborated is needed for socially shared regulation support, and redesigned the tool, and now we have new data. We have not yet published anything, but it is coming, about how these kind of tools can facilitate computer-supported collaborative learning. Another slide gives a picture about iPad tool, which is a simple web application we created for our current experiment. It is a kind of traffic light. It looks like a traffic light, where we have supported cognitive, motivational, and affective aspects while groups are working in collaborative. And it is a kind of simple tool where groups have to identify their current situation, their current plans, their current feelings, and they are also provided some prompts to elaborate and help they sharing those processes. This is our ongoing development work, and I think that some of those features I have mentioned are rather simply simple to be integrated to some of our learning environments. It is only kind of thinking how we can increase awareness of certain issues covering self-regulation. My second implication is the message that this is also an other study where which is called PREP 21. This is something we have currently studied, and By the way, I think Munich people are also involved in this project in a way or other. But this is the aim that we try to prepare future teachers so that we strengthen the 21st century learning practices, their ways of working and ways of thinking. And together with three universities in Finland and our international partners, we work with teacher education cohorts and prompt and scaffold the socially shared regulation skills and collaborative problem solving skills. And we also follow the development of those skills during the years of studying. And our message is that if you are a strong self-regulated learner and you realize the potential of socially shared regulation as a teacher, you also kind of automatically model these skills among your students. And my third implication is dealing with changing and supporting physical environments in schools for supporting socially shared regulation. This is a kind of broad perspective which we can really bring developing our classrooms and schools. The picture of this slide number 29 shows about the real environment which is next door here in our university. It is Oulu University Teacher Training School. A couple of years ago we started to renovate the school and we decided to redesign the whole physical environment so that it is supporting students' self-regulated learning, collaborative learning, and also socially shared regulation of learning. The basic principles in this idea is that we take these theoretical ideas to the practice and we try to support with different activities during the school days student self-regulation and socially shared regulation. That means that we teach strategical skills to students, we prompt their planning and goal setting, for example, with technology. We provide them opportunities for challenging situation, for choice and control. And we also bring different kind of technology for the different activities. If you look at the pictures, the school and classroom environments looks not very conventional Finnish classrooms. They have designed the whole physical environment so that it really allow students opportunities for solo and collaborative situations and also for structuring and regrouping and even scripting their solo and collaborative self and shared regulated situations. We use different kind of materials and carpets and movable tables and walls and so on. And also we have included in that school different kind of communal places for sharing regulation, which are also emotionally and motivationally inspiring. And actually the one addition is the computers thing that we also encourage teachers and students and teacher training students flexible use different kind of solo and collaborative activities. So that has been very student-centered use of ICT in the teaching and learning in that school. Now we are closing to the end, but still I would like to show you a little video. It is about this Ubigo school, which I just described to you. It probably gives you a kind of idea about what are the activities students do there. And after that, I would like to make my final conclusions. So would it be okay that you probably have the YouTube link in your eyes? So if you go to the YouTube, it is about 4 minutes or so, if it's less than 5 minutes. And if you take a look for that video, we will be back here in 5 minutes. If this is okay, show me. Okay, so I let you take a look for the YouTube video. Okay, I just need 1 minute to summarize my conclusions, and we probably have time for a few minutes discussion in the end. So my final slide, number 35, is to summarize my ideas, and this is in a very general level. I think my big message here, dealing with the socially shared regulation issue in CSCL, is that we need for the 21st century more training in students' will and skill, because this is what helps them to handle their daily life, which is more or less collaborative activities. We need to train students to be successful in their own learning situations, to be active self-regulated learners, but we also need to train them to be in a collective success situations, so that they realize that being effective and regulating their working, they can achieve success. But we also need to train them for failures, because failure situations are very important for practicing your regulation and sharing regulation. So being failing is also important method for prompting your regulation. My third point is that when you help yourself or when you help your students to investigate your own learning or investigate their own learning, it helps them to become aware about their strengths and weaknesses in a learning situation, and it actually trains their self-regulated learning skills. So helping them to investigate their own learning is actually helping them to be self-regulated learners. And my fourth point is here that we know much about collaborative learning, and we know we are rather successful in designing collaborative learning situations so that they end up to the successful and rewarding learning experience. But still, it is very difficult in our field because we don't see how people act and behave. We only see what they produce. We may see what they discuss, but we don't see what happens in their mind. So my message is that knowing what group members do is different than understanding what group members do. And bringing this concept of socially shared regulation may increase that understanding what group members do. So my final point is that I think we need more research, but we need more also practical prompting of socially shared regulation in computer-supported collaborative learning fields. Thank you. I'm done my part. Frank, it's your turn.
So thanks a lot, Sanna, and we will have time for a couple of questions, and I would also have one or two interview-like questions in the end, but maybe let's give a couple of minutes also for your questions in Ghent, LMU, and all the different places.
Sanna, I have some practical questions to you concerning scaffolding. What is the role of teacher in implementing CSCL? And I mean, should teacher create groups himself or herself, and should the teacher take part in regulation of group work? Thank you.
I think teachers are very important activating regulation, so that they create opportunities for students to think what you are thinking, promote their planning, ask what kind of strategies you use. So they are kind of facilitators and scaffolders behind to activate these processes. Teachers can't do them on behalf of children or students, but they can create opportunities for regulation.
Hello. Thank you very much for your talk, and with respect to your article and the slide about assessing self-regulation and socially shared regulation, I would like to ask you what do you think about questionnaires and self-reports as a way of checking on the beliefs of the students themselves, on how aware they are of their self-regulation skills, and what's the importance of their self-belief and self-statements on regulation. According to Venman, or I'm probably pronouncing that mistakenly, they are not like representative of what they actually can do, how they can actually self-regulate. They probably over or underestimate themselves in terms of self-regulation.
Very topical question, because the field is discussing a lot about that issue. You pointed out to Marcel Venman, who is very well-known scholar in the field, and I agree very much with him. self-reports measure are able to measure some of the areas, but they are measuring beliefs. How do you believe you act and do and so on? We always use certain kind of self-report in order to characterize students that we have strong self-regulators and weak self-regulators, or in order to make a big picture about the students. But those methods are not able to capture the situated specific processes of collaboration, interaction, and regulation. We need to combine qualitative and other kind of, it's not always qualitative, but also different kind of process data, like computer generated data or so. Something which is done in the learning situations. But self-reports are one of the useful instruments available in our research, of course.
Okay, so let me jump in with my two questions. So my first question is, what would be your recommendation, Sanna, for PhD students, or also, as we have them now here, a couple of master students in Ghent University, and I also thought in Oulu. So what is your recommendation for investigations on the level of masters and at PhD level, including self-regulated learning and including shared regulation? And my second question, and maybe, well, from my perspective, even more important here, is so what do you think is the role of research on self-regulation and shared regulation in the context of the learning sciences? Is it, maybe it's only an impression on my side, but I had the impression that shared regulation is currently, even in the learning sciences, a topic that is that has more interest or is more focused at than self-regulation. So self-regulation is something that is maybe has some growing interest, but it's not maybe so prominent in learning science research. So why should it be different, or is it a wrong perception that I have? So why is self-regulation and shared regulation, why are these important topics for the learning sciences? These two questions.
I think self-regulated, socially shared regulated learning is very relevant to learning sciences. I feel myself working also in learning sciences, and I think anytime we work in a complex systems where different people interact with others, or technology is interacting with individuals or groups of people, and this is where we are in learning sciences, I think the socially shared regulation is the phenomena there. And my thinking, actually some of the very early work in learning sciences, like Rossell and Teasley's definition about sharing, understanding, they have been very influential also taking this phenomena to the self-regulated learning theory. Traditionally, self-regulated learning has always been working with individuals, individual students in classrooms, individual thinking, individual beliefs. But this is not our world anymore. We are collaborating, we are always socially interacting when we are studying and learning. So I feel that this socially shared regulated learning is important in learning sciences, but you have to understand the basic concept in self-regulated learning in order to take the whole advance about that concept.
Okay, well, thanks again, Sanna. Really learned a lot today, and I'm keep on struggling with that little question in my mind on the relation of the we level and the me and I level that Liana introduced. I will keep on thinking about that, and maybe we can have a discussion about that at a later point in time. So maybe there is another question, or maybe the reminder to do a quick evaluation of the webinar. That would be great from LMU, but maybe there are also other questions. And then I would suggest having a final round of, well, saying bye-bye or having a comment on today's webinar, and then we say bye-bye. And maybe Sana, you have the final word then afterwards. So I would like to thank you and give the floor to LMU, who is next, and then Ghent and Liping.
Hello, I have two questions here. In scaffolding prompts, metacognitive prompts, would you make a distinction between slow, medium, and high regulated learners? And two, would you equate high ability learners as processing, or yeah, they are better better at regulating their learning process?
Hi Sana, I just wanted to thank you for your great presentation in name of myself and my fellow female master students. It was very good. I think we learned a lot about socially shared regulated learning, and well, I can't offer you any flowers, but I think a smiley and a big applause will please you a lot.
I'm sorry, at the end of the webinar, I have a problem to ask Sana. And sometimes I also think about maybe just for the individual student, it to some extent it's easier to have some skills about self-regulation. And it's easy to have the co-regulation with the partners. But actually, it's really hard to achieve the socially shared regulation with the whole group. So I also think about, is it okay to have the small group if we have the collaborative learning? Or if we have a big group, how does the teacher to help the group members to be active and have some achievement in the collaborative learning? There's something wrong with Sana's connection.
Sorry, I lost the connection for a while, but I think the questions are itself very important for raising your thinking, even though we don't not able to really have the questions and answers here. But anything else you would like to ask or?
Okay, thank you. I think I have to speak my question one more time because I want to have the answers from Sana. And just for sometimes, I mean the self-regulation and the co-regulation to some extent is easier to achieve than the socially self-regulation. So just for the teachers, when she creates groups for his or her students, what kind of groups is better for the socially shared collaboration, the small group or the big group? If it have to create a big group, what should teacher do to help students to be active and get achievement in the big group? Thank you.
Well, I think I would like to pose this question to Frank and his team, because they research on orchestrating collaborative learning and scripting collaborative learning is very important, giving the guidelines how different the tasks and domains are how they are structured so that the collaborative learning interactions are most effective. I think that helps. I can't at the moment answer this question, what is most optimal, having a small or big group. I think the most important is that you raise these issues of awareness of certain aspects of self-regulation there. I think this is the thing I can answer now.
Okay, thanks again, Sana, also for these answers. I would like to close the webinar. Thank everyone for the interesting discussion and your participation, and Sana for this great talk and explanations. Bye-bye, see you soon.
Bye-bye, thank you all, see you.